our approach is we are very strategic in our AI adoption, right? So within our company, our core is human connection. Our core is to build relationship with our clients, with our stakeholders and our customers. We are very hesitant on replacing that with AI. So we do not want AI to connect on our behalf to the other human beings, because that's our core.
They keep telling us that it's all over for HR. The age of AI is upon us, and that means HR should be prepared to be decimated. We reject that message. The future of HR won't be handed to us. Instead, it'll be defined by those ready to experiment, adopt, and adapt. Future-Proof HR invites these builders to share what they're trying, how it's going, what they've learned, and what's next. We are committed to arming HR with the AI insights to not just survive, but to thrive. Hello and welcome to the Future-Proof HR podcast, where we explore how forward-thinking HR leaders are preparing for disruption and redefining what it means to lead people in a changing world. I'm your host, Thomas Kunjapu, CEO of Cleary. Today's guest is Aman Hussain, Director of HR at the Acquisition Group, one of Canada's fastest growing marketing and sales organizations with over 600 employees nationwide. Aman is a certified CPHR with a decade of experience leading HR strategy, talent operations, and data-driven people initiatives across diverse industries. Aman and his team are tackling one of HR's toughest modern challenges, preserving human connection in a world increasingly shaped by technology. We'll talk about balancing efficiency and empathy, recruiting Gen Z for high-touch roles, and where AI fits in and where it doesn't in the people function. Aman, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for the wonderful introduction, and thank you for having me.
So let's get right into this unique differentiator, something that you talk about. The direct-to-consumer sales model that you're embodying with your organization and the concept of human connection, which is a key part of the differentiator overall for your organization, what you look for in talent, and I think is part of your philosophy on the HR side as well. So could you tell me a little bit about that philosophy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Before I dive into the philosophy, just to build a context around our company and what we do, it will then all make sense. So our company, The Acquisition Group, we are a marketing and a management consultancy company. What we do is basically we help other companies market and sell their products and services. We help them increase their revenue streams. So one of the unique ways we have discovered to do this is direct to consumer, as you mentioned. So in this current era of technology where like everybody is focused on computers to sell and technology to sell their products, we want to maintain that human connection. We know that people, they want to buy from people. People are a little bit fed up of calling into a company and answering an AI voice or a robot. They want to hear from a real person. They want to have a personal touch into any conversation that they're having with another person, especially from the person that they're buying. So we decided that this is our core, like building relationships, maintaining the sense of empathy, and maintaining that human connection. And the best way to do this is direct to consumer. So we do not wait for customers to come to us, to come to the store to buy the product, or wait for the customers to go to our website or call in to buy the product. Instead of waiting for them, we just directly approach them and have that face-to-face conversation, face-to-face connection, give them the opportunity to ask any questions that they might have and buy from us. I think we found that this technique is proving itself to be a very efficient technique. We can see the increase in sales numbers and we can see how successful it is when we implement it to our different clients, and they see the success and they enjoy the revenue growth as well.
We know that AI and technology can replace a lot of things, but then a human still crave human connection. I think that's what you were telling me ahead of this. So how do you preserve that, right? In a world where there's a lot of pressure for you and your clients, for those in HR and this across all functions to move towards automation, think about efficiency, right? Find people. It sounds way more efficient to find clients to just maybe click on you, find your website, click a button, and just buy on a credit card on and just never have to talk to someone, right? There's a strange efficiency and something attractive about that. But then what is your approach internally, like within your organization, for how you all connect with each other to maintain that human connection?
Yeah, absolutely. Our approach is we are very strategic in our AI adoption, right? Where I know it's AI frenzy nowadays. Everybody is just going all in into AI, and we have nothing against AI. AI is, I think, one of the most profound things I've seen in my life after internet. So it's going to do wonders. And we just want to be a bit more strategic on how we apply AI. So within our company, our core is human connection. Our core is to build relationship with our clients, with our stakeholders and our customers. We are very hesitant on replacing that with AI. So we do not want AI to connect on our behalf to the other human beings, because that's our core. And our focus is to look up some of the administrative tasks, some of the redundant, repetitive tasks, and rather those can be replaced by AI, and we can make it more efficient, more productive that manner. But what our core is, are going to hold on for now on any sort of AI implementation on it. So we want to preserve that human connection, the empathy, and the relationship building that the reputation that we have formed. We do not want to give that away at the moment to AI.
And the hope is that is the differentiator, right? So if that's the case, I know that in an industry where you're selling sales almost, right? And the concept of doing sales in person and through human connection. So often, and you can tell us about the talent that you're recruiting for, right? But I imagine there's a lot of like early career, maybe even first job folks that make up the cadre, the ranks of your workforce. I imagine there's a big recruiting challenge at play, right? To make sure that you're getting the right people who then are able to hook into this culture. How do you not resist the massive pull of just full automation to just go in and do recruiting for you? Or do you? Or how do you think about recruiting in this world with this context?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that easy in this changing world, especially after COVID, where the industry has totally changed. It's all work from home that everybody is looking for now. And this direct to consumer, of course, it's not only work from home. You have to come to office and then you have to go and meet customers. So we do find it a bit challenging when it comes to a lot of candidates looking for work from home opportunities. But the thing with the direct to consumer role that we have, it's unique. It's very unique, and you only know when you try it out. So what we notice is we see candidates, they give it a shot and they love it. They see that, oh, they have the autonomy. They go out, they get to speak to different people. The amount of money they can make is very good. The amount of growth the growth potential this position has is amazing. So there are a lot of factors that makes this position unique, very unique, especially nowadays. The market is getting more and more saturated with technology. So one of the factors that make it unique is that human touch that we talked about. And we want to show this to the candidates. We want to make our candidates realize the potential of it, how unique this position is, and how much more they can accomplish by just focusing on this differentiating factor and being more successful. Our company, I mean, our mission is to provide opportunity. It's written on our website. It's to provide opportunity. It's opportunity not only to our clients, but also our team members as well. So we are a lot focused on our team members' growth. So one of the other things that we focus on while recruiting for this role is telling them how much we care about their success, and not only just saying it, showing it as well. I mean, we do have a structured growth program. Anybody who comes in with good attitude is performing well, there's nothing stopping them to grow. We do not just promote based on seniority. We promote based on attitude and performance. If someone is working with us past 5 years and someone just joined us a month ago, if the person is new person is performing well, they will get promoted first. So that's one of the things that we maintain within our organization as our biggest value. But when it comes to the position itself, it's a very different position. It has an element of surprise on how much you can grow within this role and how different it is when you are working on it. That's the only way to find out that how different this position is and how unique this position is when you join us and you start working with us. To answer your question, it is challenging. It takes some of convincing. So we do have a very talented recruitment team, fully trained on how to give them the clear picture, show candidates a clear picture of what the position is and how much of a potential it contains, about the growth and the money-making potential. And even though it's challenging, but we are being very successful and we are one of the biggest in North America in the direct-to-consumer space right now.
That success might build some conviction, but let me do an argument of a different approach. And let's talk through exactly the nuances of your feelings about what's differentiated here, specifically from an HR recruiting process perspective. So what if I said, let's sell the opportunity, the unique possibilities with this role. Yes, it's hard with, it's not remote work. There's all these things you need to get into it, but let's sell these candidates on this, but then let's do it with more efficiently and scale it way up and take your recruiting team out of it. And the way that you're doing one-on-one selling, creating human connection with candidates, and then helping them realize the value of this potentially for their career. And instead of that, trying to scale it up in a higher level without as much of this human touch with so many human touches within the candidate experience. Maybe we can remove a bunch of those steps and get it more efficiently there. And then once we realize who this role is for, those are the people maybe we might put more of our efforts towards. And efficiency is all that matters into getting people to the end of that funnel. So someone might say that, well, and do you agree with parts of that in your role? Or how do you think about the core values around human connection that makes you agree or disagree with parts of that type of analysis?
Yeah, so to what you're explaining me is an ideal hybrid model, right? So we can preserve the human connection as well as we become more efficient and more productive. So to establish this, what we are focused on in some sort of, as I said before, we are very strategic on our AI implementation, right? So we are seeking a perfect hybrid model where we can preserve the human connection, whereas any other task that can be made more efficient by technology, we're open to that. We have nothing against AI. AI, as I said, is the most profound thing. It's going to do wonders in future. So I'll give you some examples. We are using AI. A lot of AI is being used within our team to research, which has made it a lot quicker, a lot more efficient. We use AI to write our communications, our ad writing for jobs. Even though our calls that we make and the conversations that we have with clients and customers and team members, those are all recorded, of course, and we take the consent as well. But it's later on analyzed by an AI coach, and AI provides us with the feedback on how you can have a better conversation, more convincing conversation. How was your tone? How was the speed of your speech? And your patience level, are you over talking the other person? So it gives us the feedback that we use to make our conversations more productive or more impactful. So we are using AI to become more effective, more efficient, as well as trying to preserve the human connection, the human touch, which is the core of our company. So we are looking for that perfect hybrid model. We are efficient, and we do not want to be behind in this AI race where everyone is becoming more productive and we are not.
Right.
I mean, we are not stubborn about not adopting AI. We are just being very careful on not having it replace our core value. You can say that we are an Apple in the Silicon Valley. You probably have noticed Apple is usually late to adopt some of the technologies. They let others experiment first, and if it's successful, then they adopt it, they launch it their own way. So we are doing that as well when it comes to AI adoption.
It seems like you're holding two thoughts at the same time, right? You're very open to adoption with the latest technology, but you're also thinking about when to use it and when not to use it. So thank you for some of those examples about how it has actually made its way into just the day-to-day of the whole organization as well as HR. I'm curious if your ethos around the human connection, has that led to any situations or do any decisions come to mind where you looked at, evaluated using AI in some part, whether in the HR function or broadly in the organization, where you looked at it and then you step back and said, no, this does not make sense because it actually detracts from what we are really trying to accomplish as an organization?
Yeah, I have actually. I mean, in fact, yesterday I was having a meeting with Salesforce and they were showcasing some of their AI products. But one example I can give you is one demo I attended, which was an AI voice. So that AI voice can call on your behalf, can receive and answer calls on your behalf. So you are speaking to an AI, which sounds like a human. But what I noticed is after speaking about 30 seconds to that AI voice, I can figure it out. It's not a human. It's not there yet, to be honest. So the empathy is missing. The human-to-human connection, the level of understanding is missing. So we have looked into some of the stuff like that and decided to go against it at this point of time. So decided not to adopt it because the human connection, the level of empathy is not there yet.
Great example. And then let me counter back to the example you mentioned about leveraging like recorded voice calls to analyze how someone is doing and to help coach them. Now, coaching, usually it's in my mind, right, is very much associated with high empathy and highly understanding particular nuances of a situation. But you're going ahead and doing some coaching with data, right? And AI. How do you think, if you had to articulate, what is the nuance there? What's different there? Like a voice call where you're seeing, okay, this is lacking empathy, but something like coaching, where you're trying to up-level and upskill your employee base, but that also needs empathy. And I'm sure there's limits to what AI is really able to do there. What are the nuances? How do you see that being different?
Yeah, absolutely. So one is the execution of the core work that we do. So we are being reluctant to get that replaced by AI, but the other is just to augment what we are doing, just make it a little better. So we are very, as I said, we are very open where AI can help us improve the process, but not fully replace the core work that we do. So I agree to the point where AI is listening to the call and providing the coaching. So yes, the empathy, the human touch is missing there, but still it's able to provide us with some concrete feedback that we can use. It doesn't mean that we have totally given it away to the AI to manage. We do listen to the calls manually as well. We're not 100% relying on AI, but where it took us a week to listen to 100 calls before, now it takes us about half of the time to listen to the 100 calls where we listen to some and AI is leveraged and give us some feedback. So the combination of both human and AI is making us more efficient here.
So let's talk about just recruiting and the generational shifts. It's clearly taking over in boardrooms and leadership teams, and HR teams are thinking about it and using it in different parts of the workflow, including recruiting like we're talking about. But then I wonder just generationally if it's produced any differences, right? So, kids growing up using smartphones obviously has an impact eventually, right, into the workforce, or the pandemic and how high schools and colleges shifted in that time. And now we have a new generation that is becoming more AI native in the way that it's been a few years now, right, since the big ChatGPT version that came out that became a bit of a revolution. I'm curious if you're seeing anything, any trends, right, in recruiting and from a generational perspective. Is anything shifting in mindset, motivation for this next generation that's coming in?
Yeah, I'm in this space of direct-to-consumer recruitment for about 11 years now. So I've worked with a couple of different generations, and I can totally see how they are different from each other. So I've worked recruiting millennials. I've worked recruiting baby boomers. I've worked recruiting the new Gen Z as well. It's totally different. The way you have to have a different strategy dealing with each of these generations, right? Even though if you're a manager, you're managing a team, to manage a Gen Z takes a different leadership style versus managing someone from a previous generation. So you have to be very mindful of that.
Yeah.
But the latest generation is very well informed generation. And as you mentioned, smartphones, internet are some of the things that they have used growing up. Whereas the previous generation, when they come to office, the work environment that they see, that's the standard for them. But the new generation is very well informed. They know how best of the best work environments look like. They are aware how Google workspaces are like, and they are also aware how not some of the best work environments are like. And they are very easy to compare. So where some may find some of these new generations a bit demanding, but I would say they're not demanding. They are very well informed, so they compare, right? So if they're very quick to notice that, okay, so other companies are offering this, but we are not, so they'll come and they'll ask a question, right? So you need to be able to adapt your leadership style. You need to be more aware that they are aware, and you have to keep up with the information that's out there and make sure that your work and when your culture is up to speed.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far. If you haven't already done so, make sure to join our community. We're building a network of the most forward-thinking HR and people operations professionals who are defining the future. I will personally be sharing news and ideas around how we can all thrive in the age of AI. You can find it at gocleary.com/cleary-community. Now back to the show.
There's no room to be behind. There's no room that you are slow to adopt any sort of change, because everyone is very well informed and they are going to ask questions. Where Gen Zs are a fun, focused generation who is very well informed, but at the same time, they want to be productive. They want to leverage all the technology at the same time as well. So all I can say is Gen Z needs a different management style. They can be as much productive as some of our previous generations were. It's just you need to know how to get that out of them.
So you said, I know that you know that I know that we're asking questions and seeing what's going on in the market. So a more educated marketplace. And if that's the case, doesn't that make like your kind of work? And I feel like, I wonder if this is a generational thing even, right? Especially when you combine the proliferation of technologies and combine it with the COVID pandemic era, where you have maybe almost a trained workforce generationally to be focused on remote roles, digital work, and also honestly just be less connected. You get human connection through likes on a social media application versus what we're talking about with actual face-to-face connection in sales work. So does it feel like your organization is having to do much more training, like almost upstream from what you used to have to do, because of just societal shifts?
Yeah, so we have to keep up with that. As we know that Gen Zs are well-informed, they're quick to compare. They are very productive generation. So we have made some changes in our work environment to cater them as well. So we do a lot of fun things. So our company culture is work hard, play hard. So we take them to international trips. So we'll pick our top performers, we'll take them to Mexico. We'll pick our top performers, we'll take them to Vegas. We'll do team nights often, like every other week, we are doing team nights for them. We keep doing different bonuses, prizes. In my office today is the date of recording is 28th October. So we are doing Halloween potluck. everyone will come dressed up.
Nice.
So we have to make sure that we are keeping up with all the fun elements. We are keeping up with anything that they can experience within the company and they can brag about it to their friends. So that's what some of the new social media generation wants, right? That's the whole point of social media. You post about the fun things you are doing so you can brag about it. So we want them to brag about their work. And that's how the word of mouth spreads. So we become a cool company to work for as well. So it makes us more attractive to work for, helps us with our recruiting, even though our position is not a remote work that they're looking for. It's direct to consumer. But if you have that fun element in this position, so why not? They would love to join us.
So you've cracked the code somewhat, maybe, but then what would you say to, what would be your message to leaders who say, hey, this new generation, they're not built like the previous ones. They don't want to hustle. They're not productive. It's so much harder. It's something that's said behind closed doors, I would say. Yeah. What do you say to that?
Yeah. My message to them is they can hustle. They can work hard. They can be productive. You just need to know how to get that out of them. You need to amend your leadership style, your management style to get that productivity out of them. Mm-hmm. So you should not focus on changing them. You should just focus on how you can amend some of your styles, some of the ways you do things. Focus on change to cater to this new generation. Change is something that we should always be very mindful of. Changing too quickly can be not so beneficial, and changing quickly often is beneficial as well. So you have to be very strategic when it comes to change. So we have so many examples of companies reluctant to change and they are nowhere to be found now. Yeah. So just focus on how we can better cater to this new generation, what changes we need to make within our organization, the culture, our leadership style, and we can get most productivity. They can be more productive as compared to any of the previous generations. The combination of Gen Z's, their mindsets, and the technology nowadays can be a killer combination.
Absolutely. There's opportunity if you can get it done right. So let's talk a little bit, Aman, about the guardrails around technology and AI. So we've talked a bunch about how, you know, important it is to preserve human connection across the board in the organization, in the sales organization, in HR as well. So if that's true, what guardrails and rules do you have almost that help you make your decisions, right? And different companies might have different types of rules and guardrails, but what are some of yours around where you want to have evolution and change with technology and AI versus ones that you want to preserve?
Yeah. So one of the most important guardrail we have is anything that is our core value, let that not be replaced by any technology. So that's the only rule that we are focusing on as of now. As I said, we are not against the technology and AI. We are very open to implement these, but only the areas which are redundant, which are repetitive, which are administrative. So we can have AI or technology do it quicker, in a better way, in a more effective way for us. But the only rule we follow whenever someone presents any AI demo to me is, it replacing the core values that we have? Is it the core of our business? If the answer is yes, we'll hold on. One of the examples I can give you, so I talked about the AI voice.
Right.
If I implement that, that replaces the one of the core, which is human connection, which is building relationships. So I would not do that. Rather, I would be open to a AI chatbot, right? After hours, when the HR team is off after 5 o'clock, if someone has any question, they can go to our website, they can type a question and get the immediate answer by a chatbot. So, I mean, it's just augmenting our ability, but not entirely replacing the core value.
So great example.
That's the only guardrail we have.
Okay, with that in mind, I would love to look ahead into the future a little bit, actually from two angles, because I think you're in an interesting field. The world of sales and marketing has been shifting rapidly, right? So it's been with AI tools, there's been a plethora of tools that are coming out there and processes are shifting very fast. As you look ahead in the next couple of years, how do you think that whole world, those whole functions are changing? And do you think your organization will actually be quite different in terms of the how the sales folks are doing their day-to-day versus today because they're enabled by AI? Or how do you see that playing out? And also more broadly in the sales and marketing world?
Yeah, I think with time and improvement within AI structures and AI technology, everything is going to become more and more time efficient, more and more productive with time. And this is not going to happen all at once. Everything is going to happen in phases. You will see one aspect of the work being slowly replaced, then followed by another aspect, then another. So 5 years from now, if anything takes us an hour to do, it's going to take us 15 minutes to complete the same task in different areas of the work, whether it's an administrative task, whether it's research or communication, whatever it is. I think everything is going to become more and more productive. There will be more opportunities because if people are taking less time to do same amount of work, then there's going to be a vacuum created. And I think naturally everything is going to be balanced out. That vacuum is going to be filled by something else. I don't know what, but that means that vacuum is going to be new opportunities that will unveil itself with time. And things are going to change. The way you work, the way tasks are executed is going to look a lot different. But one thing I really want to see, if you notice that what's different nowadays with smartphones and all the technologies, there used to be a mental state of boredom before. When I was a kid, I can think of many times in my life that I'm sitting and I'm bored. Even though I'm a kid, I'm staring at the wall, I'm sitting on my patio, right. I'm bored. This is something I don't observe now. No one is bored. This mental state of being bored has been vanished. Whenever you have nothing to do, you take out your cell phone, you start looking at your cell phone. When you're bored, when your brain is not doing anything, then you're thinking about things, you're observing things, you're coming up with new ideas, new thoughts, but that is missing. So I hope with AI, people have enough time to get bored, start thinking again. So start thinking about new ideas again, and we see more innovation. So I believe if you notice, the innovation that we have seen in 1960s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s, the rate of innovation has declined ever since the emergence of cell phones, smartphones. We keep complaining about lack of innovation in smartphones itself, but the only biggest innovation I've seen after 2007 and after internet is AI, which is just happening now after like 25 years. So I hope that with AI, make things that productive, that efficient, less time consuming, that people have some time to think about other things, to be more creative, to be more innovative.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a paradox there, because even with the advent of smartphones, you can be a monk who lives outside of society, or like lives in Walden Pond, like Henry David Thoreau, away from society, just to give yourself time to be bored and to focus and think about what you want to do in a very considered manner. But on the other hand, the promise of every new wave of technology is to give you time back. But the paradox is that it might suck up all your time chasing the efficiencies, figuring it out, and then thinking about what else you can do. So you mentioned that vacuum that it creates, right? So I think that's theoretically, you can do the same things more efficiently, but then there's two paths that, whether we're talking about a sales org, a person in their leisure with their time, or someone in HR, right? There's two paths. You can take that extra time and do more and run ever faster on the treadmill of the particular treadmill that you're on, or you could step off and be bored and reflect and live life in a different way. And that's such is the paradox that often you just go faster on the treadmill. So it's an interesting point you bring up. But also I would think this will, that desire to be bored, or maybe you can mix it also with the desire for human connection, may actually make, especially in the sales and marketing world, the value proposition that you provide to be even more compelling. So in a pure metrics perspective, human to human selling might actually grow as a percentage of the pie, right? As it has been shrinking for some time with the advent of so much more efficiency, but that is to be seen. Let me ask you the same question while we close out about the HR function itself. So if you're projecting ahead in a similar way, thinking about specifically how the all aspects of HR is done, or what does an HR team look like in a few years from now, and what are they doing day to day with an AI within the concept of an AI enabled world?
Yeah, it's a good question. With AI revolution, implementation of AI, I see HR team doing more in less time. Now, this is the question that HR leaders should think about: the extra time that everyone gets in future, how to best utilize that time, right? AI going to enable us to do things quicker. Of course, the first thing comes to everyone's mind is, okay, our jobs are being replaced. When you need 5 team members, now you need just 3 team members to do the same job. But what we need to figure out here is, how can we create some more opportunities so that overall, in a bigger picture, as a company, you are doing more with the same amount of people instead of doing the same amount with less people.
Mm.
So if you're producing 10 in a month with 5 resources, so focus on producing 20 with 5 resources instead of producing 10 with 3 resources.
Right.
So each technology is going to give us more time back in our hands. We have to figure out the best way to best utilize that time.
So what do you think? You're in the field. What do you think that can look like? What is the 10 to 20? So what are the types of value that is going to be demanded more from the function that you feel like we should be leaning in towards? Or maybe there's new things that it's 11 to 20 looks very different than 1 to 10. But do you have any thoughts as few years, months, quarters into the revolution? Any initial thoughts if you're kind of painting the way towards the future?
So I can speak for my company. What we will be focusing on is increasing our scope. So with 600 team members, we are focusing on telecom industry. So most of our clients are telecom clients, even though we do have some other clients, but the ratio is quite smaller as compared to the other clients and the other industries. So if I take my company's example, we would need to increase our scope to cater more industries, more clients, rather than just focusing on one thing. So other companies should be coming up with more products, right? So if someone is producing smartphones, they should start producing cars at the same time, right? So it's all about scope. So you need to use that time to increase the scope of the products in the industry that you're dealing with. That's the best, I believe, diving into a new area with same amount of resources would open a new box for you. It's like a blue ocean strategy. So you're creating a new product and using your extra resources to work on that, and less amount of resources to continue to work on what you have been doing. So if I speak for my company, we are going to focus on increasing our scope by leveraging AI, using same amount of resources, but right. Doing.
Love that example. And specifically in HR, one thing you're already starting to do that a little bit is like coaching, right? Executive coaching is something that is expensive and only for a few people. And it's one-to-one and doesn't really scale to an entire organization. And now with some technology, you're actually increasing the scope of what you're able to do by providing coaching through technology to hundreds of people in a way that is up-leveling them hopefully faster than you otherwise would. And I think there's probably so many other examples like that, right? For with the HR function can take on all the bottlenecks that, you know, you, if you had more time, that you could produce more services or programs or outcomes, those things can be accelerated.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to give my company's example, if you were focused on direct-to-consumer in consumer channel, now we have expanded to United States as well. So we are not only limited to clients in Canada, we have Verizon in United States as our client, and Verizon in the space of business to business. So that's something new for us. We have done business to business here in Canada before as well, but we have expanded and increased our scope in terms of region. Instead of focusing in Canada only, we are now in United States as well. So we are going to continue to increase our scope by leveraging technology, and that's how we become more efficient.
Love that. Thank you for this conversation, Aman. I know that you have a very unique organization that you're representing where the human connection is so central to what most of the org is doing day to day and what people are getting trained on. And it's also such a unique role to recruit and retain talent for, because it's certainly not getting easier. Let's put it at least that way, right? With all the generations that are changing and the shifts upstream from the labor market, right? In terms of how people's habits with how they engage with each other and technology. And because of that unique perch of and the differentiated position in the market for what you sell, your force and HR functions, you're reflecting the values of the organization and how you will do the work in your organization as well. So I thought there's some great examples about things that you could be doing on the recruiting side, right? But you're specifically saying no to because it clashes with your values. And I think I would suggest that it's valuable for every organization to clarify what actually matters to them from that values perspective and how they differentiate in the market as clairvoyantly as you're doing, because then it helps streamline all your downstream decisions, right? Of any particular technology or what not to do, what to do. Thank you for that, this conversation. And for all the listeners out there who are looking to future-proof your own organizations and your own HR functions, I hope you took some nuggets of insight from this conversation here with Aman Hussain. I certainly did. And good luck as you future-proof HR. See you on the next one. Bye now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Future Proof HR. If you like the discussion, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to or watching us on, or share this with a friend or colleague who may find value in the message. See you next time as we keep our pulse on how we can all thrive in the age of AI. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slackbot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. Just head on over to gocleary.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's again, gocleary.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.